There must be some special prize for the shortest hymn I've ever given you. The text today, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." One of the most famous posters of all time in our country comes from a point of crisis for the people of the United States. On December 7th, 1941, the Japanese launched a surprise attack on the United States Naval Base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and the whole country was in shock. The great need of the response stirred many to join the service and take on this threat that loomed large. 30 days after the Pearl Harbor attack, 134,000 Americans enlisted in the military. They saw the need and they joined. More than 16 million served in the military in World War II. 6.1 million of that 16 were volunteers. Can you imagine? The need was great, and they heard the cry, and they said, "I'll go." The poster that I was talking about is one that you probably all remember, the picture of Uncle Sam with his finger pointed out at you, and it said, "I want you for the U.S. Army. You, Uncle Sam wants you." Many saw that, and it led them to say, "I'll go." Today in the text, the time had come to destroy a far greater enemy, the greatest enemy of mankind. Sin, its result of physical and eternal death, hung over all humanity, and God had promised a Savior. The time had come for God to gain the victory, and so he comes and points the finger and says, "I want you." God calls on Mary, and Mary responds in faith and trust in her Lord. As a servant, she is ready to serve. She hears the call, ready to serve on notice for the big task of being the mother of the ultimate servant of all mankind, her son, God's son, who would give his life as a ransom for many. Mary is a beautiful example of faith, that in the face of need and the call to serve, served with gladness. By the time of our text, she's probably 15, maybe less, a virgin, living in Nazareth, engaged to Joseph and the angel Gabriel, God's messenger, sent to bring the message that would change her life. Can you imagine? Gabriel points the finger as he shares words of comfort for Mary in this job description. "Do not be afraid." People are always afraid when angels show up. "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus." You know the story. We'll hit it again soon in Advent. Not only does Gabriel say, "Stop fearing," he adds, "You found favor." God has favored you. She's a sinner just as we are. She doesn't earn God's favor any more than we. He has favor upon us. God had chosen her to be the mother of Jesus. God was about to fulfill the promise he made so long ago, going to send his son on a mission to save the world, to save all people from sin, sending his son to pay the debt of sin for you and me, for all people. Luther says in the Catechism, in the explanation, "Who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death." After all the years of waiting, from the first promise in the garden to everything that came, it was finally about to happen. And Mary, of all people, was about to be the mother of God, the mother of the Messiah. What a call. It says she's perplexed. We all would be perplexed at the moment. An angel shows up and the words that he had to say. She asks questions, not like Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who wants some kind of a sign and doesn't turn out so well. She does ask for a little explanation. The simple question, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Mary receives her answer, There wouldn't be a human father. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This child would be different. He would not be conceived in sin. He was going to be called the Son of God, the Holy One, born perfect. This child that Mary would receive would not be sinful, and he receives that title as the Son of God because he is. As Jesus said, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A pretty big statement, don't you think? This was not an ordinary child. The angel summed up the whole visit with God, nothing is impossible. He will do amazing things beyond what we can imagine. With him, the impossible would be possible. There was going to be a birth without a human father and a mother, a virgin, to a peasant girl. The ordinary here would be extraordinary, out of the world. And Mary's response, it's an amazing one, if you really listen to the words. If an angel came and said that to you and what that would mean for your life, for the man you're betrothed to, here we have the beautiful voice of faith that says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Wow. Mary is ready to go, a woman of faith. I don't know exactly what the future may hold. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I trust you and your word. And so in faith, let it be so. What a woman of faith. A faith that allowed to accept the message without question and place herself in the servant as a servant of the Lord, or as the bulletin cover would highlight, ready to serve. What was the basis of being ready to serve? God's word. Let it be to me according to what your word says. Not the word of my heart, not the word of my circumstances. Let it be according to your word. She believed the message that Gabriel delivered, God who would tell her that she would be the mother of the Son of God, and she believed it. God's word, the basis of her trust, and made her ready. How would she tell and explain it to Joseph? Probably not an easy thing, but she trusted God would work it out because she was ready to serve and accepted his call. Jesus, God's son, came for a bigger task than just being born miraculously. His task, shared with the disciples, you remember, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came as a man to serve all of us. He taught and healed people, but ultimately he went to the cross and the grave to bring salvation. He was the true servant of God. Paul sums it up in Philippians. Jesus Christ emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The ultimate servant makes the impossible possible. What would deliver us from sin and death and the power of the devil? What would deliver us everlasting life and salvation and hope and gladness? The death of this son, the mission to die and rise from the dead to give life to all who trust in him. So, the word of God comes to you, not just women, but men, not just middle-aged, but old, and, as I say to the kids, even young. Too often I hear older people say, I've done my time, it's time for the next group to take over. And I always say, I'd like you to show me that in the Bible, please. Mary was ready to serve. Jesus comes to serve to the point of death. The question remains, what about us? If we're looking for someone to imitate, I would say Mary is a perfect example. We have experienced God's grace through the work of his Son. He has given us his word that we hear proclaimed. He has redeemed us through his Son, Jesus. And because of that redemption, we have the opportunity to be servants just as Mary, to go and hear his word and proclaim it to others. Paul puts it this way, Jesus died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Serve who? Not ourselves, but Christ. And what is the greatest will of God? That all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus. To serve the Lord with gladness. The theme for L.W. Mel Sunday or Lutheran Women in Mission, I think they've changed their name now, kind of. Their motto about being willing to serve and to serve the Lord, not just because it's a duty, not because we got to do this, but to serve the Lord with gladness, to rejoice at the opportunity to help other people, to rejoice that others would know their Savior, Jesus Christ, to rejoice to be able to serve for the sake of others. Since 1942, Lutheran Women in Mission has focused on affirming this group of women who gather together to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, equipping each other through the different things that they provide and gathering and meeting to encourage one another. They are ready to serve the Lord. And if you've ever met in a big group with those ladies, they are an amazing group of ladies. For 2023 to 25, they have a goal of raising $2,350,000. I bet they'll go over the top of that. It is amazing every year to see the list of the various missions that they support. All through, you'll see during offering them coming out and putting their little mite boxes in, these little boxes that contain pennies and nickels and dimes that get lost often in cars. But here they gather all these coins to come up with $2.35 million. Can you imagine? And the amazing things they do and the various missions that are done throughout the United States and the world because of their love of Jesus Christ and their willingness to hear the word and serve with gladness. It is truly amazing. So, God called Mary and she says, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be so. He sent his son to serve and he comes to deliver each and every one of us, giving his life as a ransom. And as we look around us, the need is great. So many around us do not know the Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe they're afraid of what would happen if they walked in the doors of that church. The good news is you get to go out and be where they are. And you can share with them the hope that you have, the message of a Savior. And as Martin Luther expresses it, we are saved that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. It is so. In Jesus' name, amen.